The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus came into the district of Judea and across the Jordan. Again, crowds gathered around him, and as was his custom, he again taught them. The Pharisees approached him and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" They were testing him. He said to them in reply, "What did Moses command you?" They replied, "Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her." But Jesus told them, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate." In the house, the disciples again questioned Jesus about this. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Okay, this Gospel reading comes up about 5 or 6 times a year. And for some reason, it always shows up on Friday. And it gives me a chance to talk about it from several different perspectives. And here's one I don't believe I've ever talked about before, and that is the idea of marriage as a vocation. Stop and think about that for just a moment, okay? Marriage as a vocation. Now, a little bit of the background on what you just heard here in this reading. The Pharisees are trying to trap Jesus in his speech. King Herod was divorced and remarried. John the Baptist called him out on it and paid for it with his life. Now, the Pharisees hope that Jesus is going to speak out against King Herod, and maybe he'll get thrown in prison just like John, and who knows? Maybe he'll die just like John and finally be out of their hair. But if he doesn't do that, he'll have to denounce the law of Moses and lose the people. Either way, the Pharisees figure this as a win-win. But as always, you can't trap God. He does the last thing that they would ever expect and turns this entire reading on its head, quoting not Moses from the book of Deuteronomy, but God from the book of Genesis, who spoke about what it was intended to be like from the beginning. So let's think about that for just a moment. In the beginning, there was God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons in absolute perfect communion of love. And then God said, "Let us make man in our image." Male and female, he created them. Not like any other animal on the face of the earth, and not like some accident that happened to evolve, but as the divine creation and divine command to become like God in his own image, a union of perfect love and perfect unity. And then God said, he gave the man to the woman and said, "Be fruitful and multiply, and what God has joined together, let no one tear asunder." That is the vocation of matrimony. The vocation to a oneness of love and a communion of persons that's like God himself. Now, I say the word vocation and most people don't know what vocation means. I say, what's a vocation? Most people think that a vocation is a job, right? Because they've watched television and they've seen advertisements for the ITT Technical Institute, by which you can train for a new vocation as a computer programmer. Call 1-800-325-ITT. Classes are forming soon. Most people think of a vocation as a job. But let's understand what the church means when it talks about a vocation. It comes from the Latin word vocare, which means to call. Who's the call from? Call is from God. Who's the call to? The call is to you and to me, and the call is to become like God, a communion of persons with other persons in absolute and complete love. And to that end, our Lord calls us to something challenging. Now, before he's had this speech here about marriage, he's just finished talking about carrying the cross, self-denial, sacrifice, and service. He now applies each of those to the most intimate sphere of human life, in which two deeply flawed and clearly fallen individuals form a communion of persons, but not without the cost of very much sacrifice, suffering, self-denial, and carrying of the cross. But that's the hammer on which the souls of saints are forged. And that is what our Lord calls each of us to. And sometimes we forget that marriage is a vocation. You know, marriage, as you know, has been deeply compromised in our own time. But even in the church, it's been deeply compromised. Even among practicing Catholics and clearly Christian homes. Because I'll ask people when they want to get married, why do you want to be married in the church? And they'll usually say, well, because we love each other. And they're shocked to hear me say, that's not enough reason to get married in the church. And I think, well, what reason could there possibly be? Well, there's all kinds of reasons which two people will come together. A man and a woman will come together for physical reasons. They can come together for psychological reasons, for companionship. They can come together for economic reasons. They can come together because they love each other. But none of those is what Jesus had in mind when he talked about what things were like from the beginning, because none of those is about what God wants. All of those are self-focused. And you and I, we need to rediscover what it means that a vocation is not about ourselves. It might be clearer in the case of a priest, right? This is not about me, this is about you. But we tend to forget that for the vocation of matrimony. The moment a married couple begins to ask, what's in it for me, is the moment their vocation begins to die. It's not about ourselves. It's about God and what he wants and what he wants to make us into. You know how we talk about trusting in the Lord, trusting in the Lord, trusting in the Lord? You know what's interesting about a vocation? Whenever there's a vocation, the tables are turned. It's not just us trusting in the Lord. It's the Lord who puts his own trust in us, because we become an image of who Jesus is meant to be. The priest is supposed to be an image of Christ in the world. A married couple is meant to be an image of the unity and the love of God. He puts his own trust in us, and with the help of his grace, may we be faithful to that calling. Amen.